Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination at Hebrews. We're in the fifth chapter. And we've chased a couple of cross-references that I want to remind us about because we're going to look at a couple more verses, but we cannot forget what is happening in sort of the flow and the context here, okay? So let me go back to Hebrews chapter 5 and read verses 5 and 6 again. I've been reading from the New American Standard, which is my usual go-to, but sitting here on the computer, I've actually got like the King James open, the New American Standard, the English Standard Version, the ESV, and the Lexham, which is a translation associated with Logos Bible software. I'm going to read from the ESV today. Verse 5 says this, "So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.'" And so that's verse 5 and 6 out of the ESV. And the ESV and the King James and the New American Standard, all three at the end of verse 6, put a period. Okay? And so what have we seen here? That the Father says to the Son, "You are my Son that I have begotten you." Okay? "And you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." And we chased around that Melchizedek a little bit in the Old Testament. There's a couple of places that refer to that. The first, remember, was in Genesis 14. And in that passage, we see in verse 18 that Abram encountered Melchizedek, king of Salem. And Melchizedek brought out to Abram bread and wine. And this is after Abram had rescued his nephew Lot and defeated some kings in the area. And we see that Melchizedek is the king of Salem, but he's also, now he was a priest of God Most High. He's a priest of God Most High long before the Mosaic and Levitical and Aaronic priesthood was established, okay? But he's described as the priest of God Most High. He is the king of Salem. He comes out and he blesses Abram, and then Abram turns around and gives him a tenth of all the spoil that he had just taken. And then we also saw in the 110th Psalm, a psalm that David wrote, in the fourth verse, it says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." That is the verse, Psalm 110, verse 4, that Hebrews 5 is quoting. And he's quoting exactly that. And remember, Psalm 110, verse 1 is the verse that says, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And even Jesus himself brought this verse before the religious rulers and powers that be and says, "Hey, you know when David said this right here? Who is he talking about?" Yeah, there was great debate over then. We probably have clearer understanding that the Lord, the Father, the Most High God, says to my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So we see that this is what's being referred to in Hebrews. Now, let me go ahead and read the next couple of verses. As I said, the King James, New American Standard, the ESV, all put a period at the end of verse 6. And the ESV picks it up and says, "in the days of his flesh." The Lexham doesn't. The Lexham just puts a comma and sort of gives a little more distinction to the fact that it's just a flow of thought all the way through verses 5. 6 and 7. So let me pick up verse 7 right here from the ESV. "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence." And when you read to from different passages, different translations, you think, well, what's going on here? And verse 7 of the New American Standard, it says this, "In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication." Well, who is he? Well, they capitalize it, so that gives you a less than subtle hint that it's the Father or Jesus. The ESV just flat out says Jesus puts in the name Jesus there to where it clarifies and we know who it is. But look what he did. In the days of his flesh, in the days when Jesus had taken on the form of the flesh, now this is interesting. Does he still have a form of the flesh? Think about it. He does. He has a resurrected, glorified body, but he has a body nonetheless. And he is the firstborn from the dead. And he's the first that has this glorified body like this that we will have because we will be as he is. Remember that passage? So in the days when he took on the form of his creation flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Well, when did that occur? I suspect that's the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, that's that environment, that scene right there. The King James says, and he was heard in that he feared. New American Standard says he was heard because of his piety. Well, you know, fear, when you think of fear, we're thinking of somebody that's sort of shaking in their boots and not strong and et cetera. No. Piety, we're thinking of somebody, in our society, we think of religious arrogance type of thing. Reverence is a good word. And all these words are words that can translate that Greek word, okay? Because it does mean, it expresses caution, it expresses piety. It does express reverence. But it also, one definition said that by implication, dread. Dread, okay? So someone is reverent about something, but they know that something is about to happen, okay? And I think that probably gives, one translator says like a reverent submission. And I think that probably is exactly what's going on with the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember what Jesus said, hey, Father, is this the way we're going to go far with this? I know we planned this. He didn't say this, but this was the reality. I know this was planned within the eternal covenant of the Godhead, that marvelous thing, before the foundations of the earth. But we're still going through this plan, right? If not, you know, take it away and give me another plan. But if not, I'll be faithful to you, and I will do what you call me to do. And he was crying out with tears, loud cries, and he was crying to the Father who was able to save him from death and did save him from death. How did he save him from death? Not that he didn't die. He did die. But he was resurrected from the dead. Resurrected from the dead. And so let me go back and read the entire three-verse passage right here. We can get the whole idea of what's being said. And then also understand that Melchizedek is being introduced right here. We will see more about him in subsequent chapters and talk more about what is being said here about this priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So verse 5. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. So because of the reverence, because of the piety of the Lord, because of the fact that he was not, they had not sinned. But it wasn't just because of that. Does the Lord hear the cry and hear the prayer of sinners? Big debate over that. People say, well, no, if you're not a sinner, the Lord doesn't listen to you. Really? Then how does he listen to you when you cry out and repent and confess and desire to be saved? You know, we deal with such stupid questions like that, and we think so shallowly. And is that a word, shallowly? And then we know so little about what the Scripture says about this. This is showing us that the Lord cried with tears, but he was crying to the Father. And the Father delivered him from death. How? By raising him from the dead, by resurrection. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you in the next episode.